Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready for the dawn of America
of America Audio with your host, Tim Banal.
No commercials, no subscriptions, no network, no rules, and at the end of the day, no comparison, my friends. And really, with tonight's guests, it's definitely no rules because we just go wild on here when these guys are on the show. I'm really looking forward to it. I gotta get that theme music shortened. I find I end up like clipping my fingernails while it's going on, like waiting for the for the show to start. But I am thrilled to have them back on the show. We couldn't do it about a week ago because Larry fell ill, but he's informed me now that he's at about 83.5%, so he's good to go tonight. And I called them the other night at the end of the show. They are like the Lennon and McCartney of good paranormal books. That's probably the best way to put it. They put out some tremendous stuff time after time after time. It's amazing. I do a lot of complaining on the show. I don't know if anyone's noticed, but I do a lot of complaining about the state of paranormal research and all the various fiefdoms and stuff. And I applaud the people who do good work, and these guys do outstanding work. So, and they have a new book called Mind Wars, and they are, of course, Marie Jones and Larry Flaxman, longtime friends of the show, seasonal guests. Every year we have them on because they're putting out such good stuff every year after year after year. It's amazing. It's like a clockwork. I guarantee I'm going to talk to them like every spring or at some point in the season. So welcome back to the show, guys. It's really great to have you back.
It's good to be back. Boy, time
Thanks
flies, huh?
It does.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's been another year around this this world.
Oh, wait.
So I feel, I wanted to start ranting about these things, these slide things, but we're going to talk about that at the end of the show, so anyone who wants to know what we think about that, stick around. But I feel vindicated, because I've been complaining and critiquing all this crap, and
I
this
like
week was like, see,
too.
I told you people so.
Yeah.
Well, it's, yeah. Like I said, it's been a year since we talked. This book is, as I said, the title, Mind Wars. Let me see the subtitle. Who's Been Watching You from the Shadows? It's a kind of a departure for you guys, because you've been really kind of in the realm of new science for a while, and this one, I even noticed, the back, they tagged a conspiracy. I was like, wow, that's kind of surprising. I know. But it's much less conspiracy and more like almost true crimey. It's just a whole sort of different realm for you guys. So tell me, like, what brought this on and how you felt about sort of going in that new direction.
I think boredom. You know, I think we were just like, God, we're so tired of writing about paranormal. But, I mean, I think our last book, Viral Mythology, kind of showed us that we can branch out and, you know, do really quality books that have nothing to do with ghosts. And I don't know, Larry, I don't remember the absolute genesis of how we decided to do this. I think we both just were really interested in the subject matter.
Yeah.
Do you remember? I mean,
I think
did we have,
so.
Like, one conversation, or?
Well, it feels kind of like, in a way, I say it's a departure, but it feels almost like a natural progression in a way, because you guys sort of tackle these big topics, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you've done the 11-11,
yeah.
Deja Vu, the Trinity.
Time travel,
so,
and, yeah. I think, you know,
yeah, so
we talk
of,
all
yeah.
the time, and I'm just thinking in the course of all of our conversations, we talk a lot about conspiracies and whether or not we think there's anything to them. And I don't know. I think
right.
we just kind of wanted to try something a little more cutting edge. But the book, you know, they're going to put it in the conspiracy section. But really, I would say 70% of what's in here is not. And, you know, especially the stuff on surveillance and social engineering, but even a lot of the mind control, what we wanted to do was look for the true stuff, the stuff that has been proven, the stuff that's being used all the time in so many different ways, and talk about the psychology of mind control. And I don't remember the exact moment that we said, let's do this.
Was it Larry reflecting on his days in the cults?
Well, when
we
got out
really,
of that one cult,
we can't, really,
we can't talk about that.
The anal probing cult.
Oh, Jesus.
We can't discuss my days in the anal probing cult.
Oh, God.
But they
anyway,
were so instrumental
talk,
to this book.
It brought an informed perspective, I'll say, absolutely. I guess when everyone hears, like, mind control, they always go to the MK Ultra thing, it seems. Well, in this realm.
Absolutely,
community, we'll call them. So I guess talk, enlighten me about this. Obviously, I've read a lot about it. I read the book, and I'd heard about it before and read about it a lot before, but we never really, like, done an episode. So kind of, we're not going to do a whole episode on MKUltra. Don't worry about that.
No.
But sort of give me a thumbnail on what exactly this is. So in case, like, something happens in the world and I'm the only show left and after we all die, like, they're,
people
they're
won't
like,
know the truth.
Fill in that part, you know. We're sort
That's
of like
funny.
Like a Wikipedia of insanity. So tell me, give me the thumbnail on MKUltra here. And what I was surprised by is you hear all this stuff about Project Monarch and the in the really deep fringes of that realm, let's say. And and what I found interesting was that apparently that's not even like it's like MJ-12. It's something like we don't actually have any evidence that it actually was a thing, Project Monarch. It's sort of a
with Monarch,
for lack of a better
words,
it's a creation of the alleged witnesses, let's say.
Exactly.
So
with Project Monarch, definitely. But with MKUltra, we have proof, and we have two Senate hearings that took place where, you know, the people that were involved openly admitted it. This basically, MKUltra was the CIA's own little operation involving mind control and different types of behavior altering experimentation. Started in the 1950s, it ran through the mid-1970s before it was, quote unquote, officially ended, and that was after the exposure at two Senate hearings and the declassification of about 20,000 pages of documents. Unfortunately, most of the documents were destroyed before the Senate hearings, but we have proof, we have witnesses, we have a lot of the doctors involved that came forth. And it really was a very organized and sophisticated program. It involved over 80 colleges, hospitals, prisons, orphanages, homes for unwed mothers, mental institutions.
Yeah, it was like a whole system. It was like a system.
And it was also being operated in Canada, too. And one of the reasons why MKUltra became so exposed is because the Canadian doctor, who was actually a Scottish psychiatrist, he was the one that really, his I don't like to call them witnesses, his subjects, his guinea pigs, came forward and talked about the brutal experimentation that he was doing. His name was Donald Ewan Cameron. So once the Canadian side sort
dude.
Of, really sick, it just sort of exploded from there. But here's the thing, and Larry and I were talking about this earlier, it's like, do we really believe that just because all of that went down in the 70s, there were hearings before, you know, the Church Senate Committee. Do we really believe that it ended? No, absolutely not. It didn't end. It probably just went further underground and deep black program with a whole different name and different institutions and people involved. But it's a provable, thing. Mind control really happened. But in light of everything we wrote about, I think it's, because it happened so much in the past, I think there's so much more proof that mind control is going on all the time. I mean, look at cults, look at media manipulation and social programming. So MKUltra was a nice way to sort of introduce it, but it's not the only thing.
It's a creepy, it's like the creepy thing that everyone goes to because we know that the government was like doing it and stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of that had to do with the Nazis coming over from during Operation Paperclip, bringing their torture and interrogation methods here to America, and the origin of MKUltra, you know, was actually for a positive reason, if you can spin it that way. The whole idea the CIA wanted to explain was that we did this to try to stay one step ahead of what we thought the Soviets were going to be doing. Now, I find that a flimsy excuse, but you know what? Maybe that was their original intention, but it really turned into just such a black stain on our history, what they did to children and, you know, pregnant women, and even people who volunteered, prisoners who said that you were told they'd get a lighter prison sentence. That was torture. Mm. It was abuse.
You know what's creepy, too, is that, like, it's been completely, talk about mind control, it's been completely, like, marginalized in the annals of history. You know what I mean? I think it's been tagged into this Project Monarch sort of conspiracy, super conspiracy realm, you know, I think dismiss it out of hand, and they're like, that's those crazy people that think da 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 da, and they don't realize that there's actually like a lot of real history.
They're two completely different things, yeah. And there were some really famous people that were involved, that were subjects. The Unabomber, Ted Kaczynski at Harvard, he was very young at the time. There's a movie coming out with Johnny Depp playing Whitey Bulger, the Irish mobster. He actually volunteered when he was in, I forgot the name of the prison, it wasn't Leavenworth, Annapolis maybe? He volunteered on the promise he was going to get a lighter sentence. And he was given drugs that were allegedly to cure Alzheimer's and dementia, and he said he was tortured. And this is a hardcore criminal. So, there were a couple of others.
It's creepy. Who knows?
Leary. Yeah. But I mean, this
they're probably like...
I mean, now our government does this stuff. Other governments do, too. You know, it's a form of controlling behavior. Why would people be surprised that the powers that be didn't want to study this and learn about it more and try to stay one step ahead from all the other countries on Earth?
Yeah. I mean, you get back to the idea of mind control. It's like, what is it really? It's like it's controlling like the free will of the person and making them do what you want them to do. And that's kind of the interesting part about the book, too, is like it takes on all these different forms. It's not, you know, people hear mind control and they think of that scene from Clockwork Orange, but it's really, there's a lot more to it.
Or, you know, conspiracy theory, the Mel Gibson movie, which I had never seen before. We were writing the book, and I thought, I think I should watch this movie. And it was like, whoa, that was a wonderful, you know, obviously Hollywood fictionalized, but it was a wonderful example of an MKUltra story, just like Manchurian Candidate. And, it's like, oh, these movies were actually showing something that happened and in their own fictionalized way. But some of what was in those two movies was in these declassified documents. So
now I had sort of like a one of those WebMD moments, because in the book you talk about people that are like narcissists and things like that, and I'm like reading, I'm like, no, I think that might be me. So, but I'm not like
you are not
like
a
evil
narcissist. No, you're not.
You
trust
could have,
me.
Yeah, you.
We know
yeah,
people
you
who are.
And you know.
yeah,
athletes, but
we know.
Like,
we know much.
My toes
more.
Have been tingling. So what?
No.
So tell me about sort of like I was alluding to earlier, though. It's the mind control. It there's a personal level to it, I guess. That's kind of the segue I'm jumping into here. You know, it's like there's people who just want to control the world, and they work down at the bakery. You know what I mean? And they're kind of like the scary folks.
I think it happens on a global level, you know, with governments and the bad guys. But it happens every day. Our interactions, our personal interactions, we're always trying to change each other's behavior or get somebody to think the way that we want them to. Sometimes we can be very manipulative. I think you see that a lot in romantic relationships and boss-employee relationships. So one of the things that we wanted to do was, it's like, okay, the very same tactics that we use on each other, they seem to be taken to the extreme when used, you know, on a more grander scale or a more global level. But there are people that are psychopaths, sociopaths, and narcissistic personality disordered people who use the same manipulative methods. They're psychological and emotional and physical abusers. This even gets into domestic abuse. There are very specific things that domestic abusers do to keep their victims from leaving. And we really felt like we needed to show that, hey, you think mind control is just some big dumb conspiracy? Guess what? You go about your day today, you're probably going to do it to some other people, and they're probably going to do it to you.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's all about manipulation. It's scary. You always got to look out. Someone's trying to get one over on you, or, you know, you think you're getting one over on somebody else.
I think it's human nature. We want somebody to do something or think a certain way, and, you know, that's natural. But to take it to the bigger
extreme. Yeah, the difference is, like, it comes down to, like, what you're willing to, the line, you know what I mean? It's like the ends justify the means,
right.
They always say, you know? It's like,
what's your
moral barometer there, you know?
I think I've manipulated Larry a few times into, like, doing books, you know? Please work on me with this. You think so, Larry?
That's how we got him on the show tonight. We had to, like, beg him.
Exactly.
No. Yeah. But I mean, you know, when you're in any kind of relationship, whether it's professional, friendship, whatever, there's always that kind of subtle stuff going on, or, you know, and that's human behavior. But the next step up is where it gets abusive, and you have, you know, somebody beating a woman or vice versa, or beating a child, and then the next day being very loving and caring, and it's that intermittent reinforcement that drives people to things like Stockholm Syndrome and trauma bonding, where they never know up from down, and you start to go crazy. And there are people that are doing that to each other. And then you think about what the government might be capable of doing. Forget it. You know, that's really creepy.
Yeah.
Because they've got the drugs and the LSD to test and the torture devices. And, you know, they've got psychologists and psychiatrists that know how to ply the mind open, empty it out, and reprogram it with whatever they want. So anyway, I feel like I'm talking too much.
The government, Larry, talk a little bit. Larry, are you suffering from Lima syndrome?
I'm having a hard time concentrating because of the anal probe.
Oh, Jesus. Well, take it out.
Oh, are you
actually
having one? Are you having one?
No, we were talking about... No, never mind. You lost it.
Oh,
no,
Larry.
That was from my cult days, remember?
That's a callback.
Flashback.
Yeah, that's a callback. Larry, suffered from Lima syndrome, though, before? That's the question.
No, I have not, Tim. Have you?
I have. For the folks listening at home, that's where a kidnapper becomes emotionally invested in their hostage. Yeah. Hasn't everyone suffered from Lima syndrome at some point?
I mean, does that happen when you get married? Do you have that same kind of...
Yeah, exactly.
No, it does.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it does kind of in a way, don't you think?
Well, kind of.
Maybe
in
a really good marriage it doesn't, but I think that stuff goes on, you know.
Well, it's like a combination Stockholm and Lima syndrome. It's where it's like, who's the kidnapper and who's the hostage here? I don't even, you're always fighting for the role. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the sign of a good marriage. You're constantly going between Stockholm and Lima syndrome. What I thought, here's a weird thing I found in the book. Larry, you got to talk at some point or else I'm going
to
cry. But
about cults.
Well, this gets into this cult and sort of just people being weird and shit. Because I thought this was amazing. Because you think about these, it's not amazing in a way because I think it's also creepy. I'm rambling because there's a lot to talk about here. But it's this Hell Minus One. This book this girl wrote. You guys mentioned it in your book. Well, this girl, and she was like ritually abused by her parents and satanic rituals and stuff like that. And it's like. And they admitted to it and went to jail. And the weird part, I thought, beyond that, we can kind of leave that to the side. I just thought the weird part was, like, it seems like this was just something that the parents were doing to this girl. It's not, it wasn't something part of some larger New World Order agenda, you know, and anything like that. It's like, that's the creepy part. It's like, it could be your neighbors or something doing these really, it's like that guy in Cleveland kind of thing.
You don't know. Right. But then there are a lot of people that have come forward that as children remember certain things that later were corroborated when the documentation was released, and I can't, you know, we can't say for sure that what they say happened to them did, but some of them sound awfully credible, and they're able to pinpoint names and dates and places that were later corroborated by serious researchers, not just conspiracy people. But,
yeah,
it's hard. I've been in contact with someone via email who remembers being ritually abused, but she can't remember enough to determine whether it was through this. The years, you know, were the same, and the location was the same as some of the institutions that were involved. But she said she has so many different memories about what happened. She doesn't know which ones are real. Now, that alone also adds to this, because a lot of these children have their minds split into different altered personalities. So they may have multiple memories of some. It's so hard, but, you know, we know it happened, so some of these people that are talking may very well have been the real deal.
Exactly, exactly. But what I guess the point I'm trying to make is that they weren't being turned into super soldiers. They were just like poor victims who live in, you know, Florida, you know, something like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that too. But then again, you know, you're talking about another form of mind control. Abusing, you know, children, and, oh, don't tell. You tell, I'm going to kill your parents. What a fantastic method to change the behavior of a child and get them to do what you want, using the fear that their parents are going to be killed or harmed in some way.
Mm. What was that?
Very the conspiracy.
But you know what? Now that I think of it, Larry, didn't we kind of decide to do this book because we were talking about cults? Why does that?
I think that was part of it.
There's a big chapter on the cults. I was going to ask Larry this because this is a direct quote from the book. This is a direct quote. It says, "A cult can even be a group of people who worship turtles." Is that true?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You know.
I know. I'm being facetious.
To a certain extent. Well, no, but you. That's. I mean, it's true, very much. And really, if you think about it, and this is going to probably be wholly unpopular for me to say, but I'll say it anyways.
Nice.
Damn the political correctness. The vast majority of people in this world are in a cult. If you think about it, religion is religion not one of the biggest cults that there is?
Absolutely.
Organized religion.
Absolutely, it's a more accepted, organized version, but what's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference? So, yeah. But, no, going back, Marie, to what you said. Yeah, I think I've been sitting here racking my brain trying to figure out what made us decide to write this book.
So why did we do what we did?
But it was also because there's not a lot of information that's out there. Most of the stuff that we've seen when we were kind of coming up with ideas of what to write next was more conspiratorial-oriented and less kind of factual.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of the main reasons, too, Tim, that we wanted to write a book like this, was that we wanted to actually provide a little bit of truth as well as cover some of the conspiratorial angles of it. I mean, there is obviously conspiratorial portions of the book. A lot of the things, actually most of the book, could be potentially considered conspiratorial, but you know, there's a lot of factually proven things in there as well.
It runs the gamut of different,
surveillance.
Awesome.
The whole surveillance thing, you know, is
yeah.
We had to include that. Well, first of all, you know, Larry can talk a little bit about what he knows about that, but it's also that this is such a part of our day-to-day life, and it is a form of keeping people in line, scaring them, altering their behavior, keeping an eye on people, and when they get out of line, you know, putting them back in line. So I remember we really wanted to include that too. I mean, we could have written a book out of each of these chapters, but we wanted sort of really comprehensive. Yeah.
Well, that's, hey, man, you guys do that with all your books. I still reference the Numbers book all the time. I love that book.
Well, the next one we're doing on anal probes will be the most comprehensive book ever written on anal probes. And Larry's already doing tons of in-the-field research. And
Yeah.
I think I saw that on a movie that they aired on a couple days ago down in Mexico.
Oh, well,
God.
I thought you were going to say, like, Deliverance.
I know, me too.
Kind of a documentary.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's.
Yeah, I do. I love the stuff on cults in the book because it's like I find cults to be so fascinating and creepy.
Well, me
and,
too. I know.
In a lot of ways, you know, they're not. They shouldn't be fun because like a lot, not a lot, a few of them end with people, all of them dying. You know, let's be honest.
Yeah,
only a
yeah.
few. Only a few end with like a mass, you know, suicide. So you can kind of love cults. I think it's okay.
And especially when you get out of.
Yeah,
but
or if you're not
crazy.
In one. But yeah, that's the two. Yeah, if you're out of one. If you're not
yeah.
in a cult, like a you know, like a scary cult, let's say.
Well, you know, like you said about the turtle, they can run the gamut from cults that are built around, you know, positive thinking and joy and
that's
happiness
true.
And let's follow Yogi, you know, Mechalekahai, whatever his name is, and then there's the real
sinister
one.
Well, like diets
one.
Kind
and
of
it
a cult.
It depends on the leader.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And it speaks,
you
know, kind of goes to
Facebook
that expression, like
cult
following.
I think Mark Zuckerberg is the biggest cult leader on Earth, and Facebook is the biggest cult. I mean, in a way, it almost buys into the same descriptions that we have of what makes a cult that we're all participating.
No, he's like
in,
the top of
a, know.
He's like the top of an Amway pyramid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just,
I love
college
him. Amway.
That we're selling shit. Yeah, cults are amazing. Like I said.
I know, yeah. I know
yeah.
years ago, Larry, we talked about writing a book on cults, and we didn't think our publisher would go for it. I remember that.
Right.
Yeah, I find all those things interesting. I feel bad for the people that are in the bad ones, but, you know. And the scary part is,
think,
like, there's probably tons
of
them out there.
What do you think of Scientology? What do you think of Scientology,
well,
Tim?
Yeah. I'm not a fan at all. I did a show on it a few months ago. That's the
did
threshold, I think, between a good like a good cult and a bad cult.
Yeah,
so
and a really
like,
sinister
right.
background. And you know what's weird is I was after we wrote the book, I heard a interview with John Travolta, and I mean he was going on and on about how it saved his life. It's the best thing he's ever done. It's helped him be successful. But the thing is, I think when you're in there, you really believe the good stuff that you got blinders on. Because some of the other people that have left the cult, Leah Remini, you know, they've talked about what hell it was. So it's just so weird how you get those blinders put on you. And
well, you know, Larry was saying everybody's in a cult. And, like, I think you'd be on, well, like, you know, it's, comparing it to religion. But I think also you think about it, too. It's like there's a cult sort of a lot of people with, like, 9-to-5 jobs, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
yeah.
somebody
true.
Leaves the job, it's like they're dead. You don't ever, you know, like you shun
yeah.
them because it's just
they don't talk
human
to
nature.
Anymore. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're leaving? Oh, it's not, you know, it's nice working with you. And then they're gone. And it's like 6 months
right.
later, you, like, forget all about them and stuff.
That is
so
weird to me that you could build such friendships and then the minute you walk out that door to go to another job, it's like you don't exist. And I never thought about that, but that is true.
Yeah.
You're like this little cult of, you're like the family, like the Manson family. As soon as somebody leaves, you know, you're easily replaced by the next person.
Right.
Wow.
You know, you don't shake the tree and cause trouble either. You know, it's like,
yeah.
kind of thing. It's very, very cult-like. Yeah, well, let me ask you this, because I need some definitions here. I need some information here, because this whole section on targeted individuals, Larry, tell me about this. I don't understand this. I'm scared to talk about it because I don't want to become one of these people. But I also feel like they'll like have more gallons. That the thing where like people think they have a disease,
right.
but it's not. I know that's
hey,
a hot topic.
Experienced this while I was writing the book. I experienced voice to skull. I will tell you that. But go ahead, Larry.
You experienced. Oh, okay. But anyway, Larry, tell me what is this phenomenon? Because, like, you guys talk about these groups and places on the internet where people are talking about it. And I'm like, I haven't even heard of this phenomenon, let's say. So it definitely seems like a new one.
What are you asking about? You're asking about targeted people?
Targeted individuals, that whole subculture.
Well, it's kind of a unique niche. They're, to me, paranoid schizophrenics, but that's just my personal opinion to a large extent. I think there's probably more experiential evidence that maybe that's not the case, but they are people that literally walk through life with tinfoil hats on. I believe that the majority of the folks
that believe that
they're
somehow... Oh, that is so not true. I'm going to disagree with that.
Well, that's, They are folks that think that the government or the New World Order or whatever under infrastructure you want to believe in today somehow is targeting these people, whether it is via brainwave manipulation. I've read accounts where people believe that there are thoughts being beamed directly into their head. The guy that shot Reagan, what was his name?
Hinckley?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That's shooter syndrome.
Hinckley actually believed that, yes, that he was being directed to do that. And there are many people that believe that they are being fucked with, for lack of a better word, by the government. They're hearing sounds. They're being aggravated and annoyed by noises in their head that no one else can hear. And my question, though, and I know Marie doesn't agree with my opinion on this, but my question is, why are these people so special, or why do they feel that they're so special to elicit this extraneous treatment from the government? Why is it that they believe that they are targeted? And I'm really curious about that. What is so great about these folks that make them – they have what?
I mean, a lot of them have no clue. Well, my entry into this was through V2K, Voice to Skull, which I had heard about but never really paid attention to because, you know, I wasn't writing a book on it. But this is technology that's been around since the early 60s. It's called the microwave auditory effect.
Right.
It's patented. It's been, you know, it's real. And basically what they can do is they can pulse tones, clicks, signals, and they've even managed to come up with words and phrases into somebody from a remote location. Now, there's
how far away, though?
I don't know, but let me tell you,
not a far distance. Marie,
well,
you know
I
what that was initially designed
close.
For, right?
Okay.
Yes. It was.
Do you guys remember back in the 80s, the I don't think, maybe it was Sony that made them, those bone conduction Walkmans. You wore these headphones around your neck. You didn't put them up your ear, but the sound vibrated through your collarbone, and your brain would actually pick up the
gross.
The vibrations.
Yeah, but
you don't remember those? They were.
No.
I do.
I take it they were popular.
This goes way back. This actually was part of a huge program to use microwave pulses and microwave radiation to change the behavior of soldiers on the battlefield. And a lot of the people that claim to be targeted individuals, and I know several that I think are absolutely credible. One is a man who worked for a law school who was a whistleblower whose family is now on the verge of death, and there are pictures, and, you know, he used to do YouTube videos. He's now so sick he can't even do those anymore. So I followed a lot of these stories. Some of them sound like, whatever. Some of them sound legit.
Sort of arguing that, like, you know, a small percentage or, I see what you're saying.
Well, it's part of a non-lethal weapon, you know, campaign that's been going on for decades. And there are very specific things that these TIs claim. And a lot of them have pictures.
Right.
And I'm not saying they're all, but here's the creepy thing. So when we're writing that part of the book, I was living in a different location. I was living at the top of a hill where I got, like, I'm a ham radio operator. I got killer ham radio reception, killer phone, you know, everything.
Yeah.
For about 2 months, I started to get pulses and tones in my head. I went to the doctor several times, and it wasn't tinnitus. These were measured out pulses or tones, and I had been learning Morse code. And I was able to figure out that some of it sounded like Morse code. And it went on for about 2 months, all hours of the day and night, to the point where I was going to the doctor feeling like I was going crazy. And I had a friend that knew about this, and I called and I said, I don't know what's going on. And then I started to, when I was sitting at my desk, get heat pulses up my feet into my legs. And I thought, great, now I have MS. Yeah, went to the doctor. Larry, I know I told you this. Well, anyway, so I don't know what happened, but as soon as I moved from that location, now I live in on a golf course down in a valley area where I don't get reception for anything. It's only happened like once or twice since. But I was actually able to get some letters as it was happening, because I know, like, the real simple Morse code letters, not the more complicated ones.
Yeah, I thought.
I wonder if somebody's fucking with me. And so I started talking to some of the people and saying, why do you think they're doing this to you? Now, maybe a handful knew that, you know, my dad worked for DARPA or whatever. And my dad, by the way, worked for DARPA for 15 years. Or, you know, I'm a whistleblower, blah, blah, blah. But the vast majority said they just felt like they were being messed with. And I thought, you know, that would make sense. If they're guinea pigging this technology, then nobody's going to know why they're targeted. So, again, I don't know, but this is patented technology that's been around since the early 60s, and they can do it. And do you guys remember Paranormal State, the show, the TV show?
No. God.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, why are you mentioning that trash?
This blew me away. I did not know this, and another radio host told me this, and I was like, oh, my God, I never, and I went and looked it up. I was like, you've got to be kidding. Well, apparently one of their promotional campaigns, I think it was in New York City, involved, what do you call them, where people sit for the bus, you know, those awning bus bench kind of things that had speakers. That had these weird speakers built in, and people would
walk, they played like ghost sounds,
and they would hear in their heads, "Watch Paranormal State." I was like, "No, you're bullshitting me." But this, you know, they figured out how to do this for advertising purposes. Now, granted, they could only do it to the people who were passing by that particular location. So they figured out, you know, how to at least transmit into somebody that was maybe, I don't know, 100 yards away or less. That blew me away.
Right.
So this is technology that's available. I mean, you know, it's there. Whether that happens
to
me
Every time we have to go to the bathroom, we're going to be bombarded with shit at McDonald's. It's like, try the new McNugget.
But you know what, if you think about the future of mind control, it's going to be done by remote control, and it's going to go directly where it needs to go. We've got the technology. Jose Delgado, was it the doctor that was able to change the behavior of a bull using remote control?
That story's in the book. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we know this stuff exists. I mean, yeah, I know Larry is the more skeptical, but
I'm in Larry's camp on this, actually, with the targeted individuals. I got to give you kudos, Larry. That was a hardcore fucking answer tonight.
You know, you got to talk to some of them, though. And the thing is the technology is there.
I
don't know.
Yeah, I'm
Marie,
with Larry.
I think there may be some legitimate cases, but I think the vast majority of these people are paranoid schizophrenics. I really do.
Well,
I mean,
I think it's not just that they might want attention. You know, I think it's everybody wants attention. That, too. But I think there are some that are legit, you know, they're being messed with. And if they work for the government or they have a family member that do and they did do something they shouldn't have done, what a wonderful way to drive them slowly crazy to keep them from talking about it.
No,
you're missing a very a more important piece than that. Why would you spend the resource, and I'm just going to ask, why would you spend the resources, let me play devil's advocate, I guess. Why would you spend the resources, the time, the energy, the effort to fuck with someone?
Manpower.
When our government is well known for
how do you know just the government, Larry? Police, Larry, law enforcement has this technology. They've got non-lethal weapons. How do you know it's just the government?
It could just be like some yokel who's a cop who has access to that shit and finds out, you know,
there were actually some cases of TIs who said they knew it was someone trying to mess with them that they knew, somebody they knew personally.
It's not. That's the thing. That type of technology that we're talking about is so advanced
to
be able to beam high frequency sound.
Yeah, you can't go down to Radio Shack and get this shit. So it's not.
But we
like,
don't
you
know
can't,
that.
You can't go down to Walmart.
Larry,
and buy
you
this
don't
stuff.
Know that.
But
this stuff started in the 1960s.
I do, though, to a certain extent.
Can you imagine
it might
how
have.
Much more
I,
advanced it's become?
Yes, I think, let me jump
well,
in here. I think what Larry...
Let's see what the future holds.
Oh, God.
No, I mean, we have
what I think Larry is saying, what I'm saying is that it's, they may have all the parts and shit at Radio Shack to build some kind of thing to mess with somebody, but it's like, you can't go down to Best Buy and go, I need a gun that shoots pulses at a dude's head.
Right.
And just
right.
drives him bonkers because he's bonking my wife.
No,
see
you would have to be quite
the law
convenient.
Enforcement doesn't have the access to that stuff. And
you
that's
don't
the thing.
Know that.
I mean, and I can say this, I do because of my, what I do professionally.
Yeah, but Larry,
you're
not involved in every level of law enforcement and every level
no,
of the highest forms of government.
Absolutely not. No, that is true. I would never claim that to be the case. Absolutely not. But I can tell you, in all of my experience at all levels that I've been involved in, that would require a conspiracy of infinitesimal amount. I mean, you would have to have such I just don't see it. I don't see how that would happen. That the government, whether it's local government, state government, federal, whatever, has better things to do than fuck with people.
All
yeah,
right.
But that's not necessarily true. I think their number one goal is to try to control the populace with the most subtle, invisible ways possible, rather than go to everybody's door and take their guns. Why not use some form of non-lethal technology? Look, the LIDA, which pulses electromagnetic frequencies and makes people mm-hmm. go to sleep
right.
on the battlefield, that's been around since the 80s. So why do we think
well, here's
that in
this.
Like
how about this?
Years,
how about, like, how about this, though? How come we don't, you know, where was that shit in Baltimore, like, a couple weeks ago? You know, if they have these,
how do you know,
this weaponry,
how do you
they're
going to
someday
that?
Turn on us. Like, wouldn't that
yeah.
have happened now? I mean, it's crazy.
No, but how
but
do
did
you know that
it?
Wasn't inciting it? How do you know somebody wasn't inciting all of that? You don't.
And for the
you
record, I'm not suggesting that
yeah,
they that they
I mean,
should
that
have.
Same
what
technology.
I'm suggesting is, like, we didn't see any, they're still using rubber bullets on people if they have all this crazy weaponry and shit. Where the where
I
is
mean,
it? What are they waiting
seen,
for?
We've
to turn
seen
on?
What is it? The LRAD, the noise weapons. We've seen that stuff used in
right.
the LA riot.
Yeah.
So they have it, but
okay.
you might want to ask yourself the question: when it's not used, why? You know, is something being used to incite people? You know what? I don't know. All I know is what I experienced was really creepy. I went to my doctor several times. It stopped after a while. I was perfectly healthy, and I heard Morse code in my head. Now, maybe somebody who lived near me was doing Morse code, and my brain just happened to sink in on that right frequency. That could have been it, too. But I just thought it was a
right,
little
so
coincidental that, you know.
It is. It is. And I wouldn't downplay your experience, but I think there are other possible explanations as well. Here's one. And I'm just going to throw this out as a really far-reaching, broad conspiracy, in a way. Maybe this is what's happened. Do you have any fillings? Do you have any metal or amalgam fillings in your mouth?
I think I have one.
A cap.
No.
Does a cap count?
A cap count. Well, if it's metalized,
it's a metal cap.
Metal
yeah.
base.
It's a metal cap. Yeah.
Yeah. Marie, do you?
I don't think so. I
never
no,
had a filling.
No. When
had...
I was little, well, my baby teeth, but not my adult teeth. I don't think so. No. Mm-mm. I haven't had cavities,
okay.
Larry.
Okay, so her mind is safe, but mine is...
Well, but I mean, you know
well,
what? We ingest aluminum. We have aluminum running through our bloodstream and in our brain. So, yes, we do. It's
and we
food,
drink
dude.
Water that contains various
yeah, exactly.
Metals and halides and stuff. So
who knows what's in there?
You know, Marie, we've written many times about how the body physiologically and the brain physiologically acts as a big radio, right? What if, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I'm just throwing this out there. What if your next door neighbor was practicing for his tech exam?
Very well
and
could have been.
He had an overpowered amp or something, and your body was just receiving that energy.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah,
know if that's
could
the
have
case.
Been
but I mean,
it
I'm
could
just saying
have been
there.
That. But this technology has
multiple ways to skin the cat.
So we know that it exists. So somebody's going to be testing it at some point, yeah. And the thing is there was one case
exist,
that was big where the gentleman and his family, you know, I mean, they literally took their case to the Supreme Court through Houston, through the mm-hmm. state court, and then they went to the federal court. So there are people that really feel like they're being He had all the hallmarks of microwave damage to the skin.
I'd like
the
to think maybe too that
you know.
Here's sort of like a hopeful note, and just maybe it's just also like, even if they can do this stuff to people, that at some point there's a breakdown where they're like, yeah, we could do it to people, but either we shouldn't or we could really probably get in a shitload of trouble if we did. You know what I mean? Where it's like they can't like just make all these protesters go to sleep using some kind of beam thing, because then next thing you know there'd be congressional hearings and the people
well,
that did
then,
it would
yeah,
like.
Well, because then you have people say,
you know
wait
what I'm
a
saying?
Second.
So it's,
right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
so
I mean, you know. We know the technology is there. That we have been able to prove. But, like, you know, I agree with Larry. The
yes.
rest of it is conjecture. I think I feel a little more pro because I talked to some of the people and I didn't think that they were bullshitting me the way that I felt a lot of people in the paranormal field bullshit me when they say that they're, you know, they've seen ghosts and demons and they need an exorcist.
Oh, believe me, yeah. I mean,
kind of thing. But I think a lot of people, like Larry said, they're either mentally ill or they're seeking attention, and Lara
right.
and I both know that that attention seeking is present whether it's the conspiracy field, ufology, or the paranormal. You have to watch out for these people. Sometimes they're really slick. Can I be fooled by them?
Yeah.
sure. But I love that chapter. I can tell you, I think that was
yeah.
a really fun
oh,
chapter
yeah.
to write. And then the surveillance
yeah.
stuff, too, because now you're getting into technology
yeah.
that we know we have, but it's like, what
provable
is the next
stuff.
10 years going to bring? Yeah,
right.
And it's like,
yeah.
if they could do this 50 years ago, what are they going to be able to do to us in 5 years, the way technology progresses? But, yeah, but I love this. I mean, I think this is great, because there are a lot of things in this book that have been documented, but the rest of it, you've got to go on your gut, or you got to try to figure out whether somebody's bullshitting you or not. And,
yeah, because you don't know what's going
yeah,
on in someone else's mind. That's the
right.
that's the thing. Now I gotta circle back here because I need some definitions and clear some things up. I was confused by. There's three things that happen that people do. Some of this is in the targeted individuals thing, and another one is from the more sort of psychological thing. But what is this
mm-hmm.
gang stalking and street theater? What are these things that
okay.
they're people
well, those
claiming
are just
to see?
Yeah, those are fancy terms. I guess a lot of these people report that they'll be walking, you know, downtown or whatever, and there'll be a group of people following them every place they go, and they'll hear their name being called out. So they're like, you know, I don't know these people, and or that
do they
these
run
people
away
are.
Or?
It's just it's, you know how you could be stalked by one person. It's basically being stalked
yeah.
by a group of people. I think it gets a little more elaborate. I mean, there are some people that claim that they think some of the things that they witness when they're at the grocery store or whatever are literally set up to freak them out or scare them or intimidate them. Now, you know, have I ever seen that? No, I've been stalked, but only by one person at a time, but never by a group of people. But that's what those terms mean. They're just sort of...
Yeah, okay. I kind of had a
yeah.
feeling that's what they meant. It's insane.
yeah,
know,
I mean, the
there is
stalking,
a thing
in
street
think,
theater.
Oh,
it's just
by,
called life,
by the
Crips
and the Bloods. But no, it's just being
you know,
stalked by a group of people and hearing your name or hearing... like your name of your mother or your child being called,
oh,
said, so that you're like, oh my God, these people know me, but I don't know who they are. And why do they keep following me from, you know, place to place? And what a wonderful way to psychologically intimidate the hell out of somebody. Why it's being done, that's the deeper story, you know?
It's honestly, it sounds completely unbelievable. So I hope it doesn't happen to me. But it's what
yeah,
do you mean? Get
know
on.
It.
No. It's called
well,
having an overactive tomorrow. Imagination. and the street theater thing, you know, that's just life. Things happen. You can't describe that to like.
Well, it's a very
I don't know.
Specific way that something is set up. Like, for example, if I were to go to the grocery store and a bunch of people were to suddenly start talking about mind control and people that write books and I hear so if people were starting to talk about right in front of me as a group things that directly related to me or my child or something personal that I, you know, maybe didn't tell a lot of people.
Okay,
about,
that's creepy.
Yeah,
that's
it's
going to
freak
right.
you out. Mm-hmm. I've never had that
okay,
happen.
Okay,
but yeah, that's
no,
just
not,
either
not people talking
playing.
About me. All right.
No,
see, I thought it was
no,
more just like some dude spills his coffee on someone else. And, you know, they get into an argument, and you're like, that was meant for me to see, because
just obnoxious, clumsy people. Yeah, I mean, we're just, you know, we're writing about what people report. We can't say for sure if it's true or not, but I'm not going to go
the other thing is,
on record of saying that they're not, that they're all lying. I think probably some of them are legitimately being harassed because, you know, they know something. There's a lot of journalists that have been killed or suicided in the past for things that they knew. And who knows? The people that don't know why, they feel like they're guinea pigs. They're just being tested on. Maybe this is the new MKUltra. I don't know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
It's just like we told you, officer. There's a religious cult in there that plans to commit mass suicide when the meteor shower starts.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
Attention, cult people! Do not commit mass suicide! There are so many reasons not to kill yourselves! Flowers, for instance, and back rubs!